Welcome to Zichudav Siman Mem Avram Goldhar and today Maseches Nedarim Daf Mem, the fourth parak Ein Bein Hamudar. So the three daps we're going to focus on, number one, the Gemara records an incident in which a student of Rabbi Akiva fell ill and none of the other Talmidim went to visit him. Rabbi Akiva himself visited him, and after he cleaned the room, the student recovered. The student told Rabbi Akiva, "You have brought me back to life," whereupon Rabbi Akiva publicly announced, "Kol mi she'ein mevak v'choim ki yoshofach damim." Anyone who does not visit the sick, it's as if he spills blood. Similarly, Rav Dimi said, "Kol mevak zocho gormo she'ichye." Anyone who visits the sick causes him to live, because she'ein mevak zocho gormo she'yamus. Anyone who does not visit the sick causes him to die. The Gemara clarifies that by visiting the sick and seeing his condition, one will be more likely to daven for his recovery. But if he doesn't visit him, ein mevakash of rachamim, or sheyichiv, or sheyamus, he does not beseech Hashem's mercy they should live, nor they should die. The Ran explains that there can be times that the patient is suffering greatly and is beyond hope of recovery, that it is appropriate to daven for his death in order to end his suffering. One who does not visit the sick will not even provide him this assistance. Point in which Rav said, kol mevakash zocho nitzu medina shel gehenim. Anyone who visits the sick is saved from the judgment of Gehenna. Bim bikur maskaro, and if he did visit, what is his reward? The Gemara clarifies that the question is what reward he receives in this world in addition to being protected from Gehenna. His reward is learned from the following pasuk, which immediately follows a pasuk praising visiting the sick. Hashem yishmareu b'yecheyu b'ushu ba'aretz v'al tineu b'nefesh oivav. Hashem will guard him and bring him to life, and he will be fortunate in the land, and you will not deliver him to his enemy's desires. The Gemara expounds the individual phrases. Hashem will guard him from the Yetzer Hara, and he will bring him to life from suffering, and he will be fortunate in the land, that all will be honored through him. And you will not deliver him to his enemies, that he will encounter friends such as Naaman's who healed his tzaras, by encouraging him to obey Elisha's directive to bathe in the Jordan River, and he will not encounter friends such as Rehoboam's, who divided his kingdom by advising him to refuse the people's petition to lighten their burden. And pointing with you, Ravin said in the name of Rav, Mitra b'marava sada rabba paras, when rain falls in the west, meaning Eretz Yisrael, the Euphrates is a great witness thereof. The Euphrates increases in volume as a result of the rain in Eretz Yisrael. If the rainwater may be the majority of the river volume, the river would become disqualified as a mikveh because rainwater is only valid when stationary, as opposed to rivers fed by natural springs. The Gemara says this statement does not accord with Shmuel, who said, Nara mekefim yisbarech, a river is increased from its bedrock, meaning a greater amount of the increase is from the natural sources than rainwater. The Gemara notes that this contradicts Shmuel's own statement that a flowing river is only valid if it's like the Euphrates during Tishrei. The Ran explains this to me that it must be known that the river never fully dries without a known cause, and one who does not know its lowest level can only immerse in the river in Tishrei, when one can be sure that the majority of the water is natural. We see that Shmuel is otherwise concerned for a majority of rainwater. The Ran explains that Shmuel was willing to rely on his lenient ruling in practice. Similarly, Shmuel's father constructed mikvahs for his daughters during Nisan and did not allow them to immerse in the Euphrates. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara records an incident in which a student of Rabbi Akiva fell ill, and none of the other students went to visit him. Rabbi Akiva himself visited him, and after he cleaned the room, the student recovered. The student told Rabbi Akiva, "You have brought me back to life," whereupon Rabbi Akiva publicly announced, "Kol mi she'ein mevak v'choim ki yoshofach damim." Anyone who does not visit the sick, it's as if he spills blood. Similarly, Rav Dimi said, "Kol mevak zocho gormo she'ichye." Anyone who visits the sick causes him to live, because she'ein mevak zocho gormo she'yamus. Anyone who does not visit the sick causes him to die. The Gemara clarifies that by visiting the sick and seeing his condition, one will be more likely to daven for his recovery. But if he doesn't visit him, ein mevakash of rachamim, or sheyichiv, or sheyamus, he does not beseech Hashem's mercy they should live, nor they should die. The Ran explains that there can be times that the patient is suffering greatly and is beyond hope of recovery, that it is appropriate to daven for his death in order to end his suffering. One who does not visit the sick will not even provide him this assistance. Point in which Rav said, kol mevakash zocho nitzu medina shel gehenim. Anyone who visits the sick is saved from the judgment of Gehenna. Bim bikur maskaro, and if he did visit, what is his reward? The Gemara clarifies that the question is what reward he receives in this world in addition to being protected from Gehenna. His reward is learned from the following pasuk, which immediately follows a pasuk praising visiting the sick. Hashem yishmareu b'yecheyu b'ushu ba'aretz v'al tineu b'nefesh oivav. Hashem will guard him and bring him to life, and he will be fortunate in the land, and you will not deliver him to his enemy's desires. The Gemara expounds the individual phrases. Hashem will guard him from the Yetzer Hara, and he will bring him to life from suffering, and he will be fortunate in the land, that all will be honored through him. And you will not deliver him to his enemies, that he will encounter friends such as Naaman's who healed his tzaras, by encouraging him to obey Elisha's directive to bathe in the Jordan River, and he will not encounter friends such as Rehoboam's, who divided his kingdom by advising him to refuse the people's petition to lighten their burden. And pointing with you, Ravin said in the name of Rav, Mitra b'marava sada rabba paras. When rain falls in the west, meaning Eretz Yisrael, the Euphrates is a great witness thereof. The Euphrates increases in volume as a result of the rain in Eretz Yisrael. If the rainwater may be the majority of the river volume, the river would become disqualified as a mikveh because rainwater is only valid when stationary, as opposed to rivers fed by natural springs. The Gemara says this statement does not accord with Shmuel, who said, Nara mekefa misbarach, a river is increased from its bedrock, meaning a greater amount of the increase is from the natural sources than rainwater. The Gemara notes that this contradicts Shmuel's own statement, that a flowing river is only valid if it's like the Euphrates during Tishrei. The Ron explains this to me that it must be known that the river never fully dries without a known cause, and one who does not know its lowest level can only immerse in the river in Tishrei, when one can be sure that the majority of the water is natural. We see that Shmuel is otherwise concerned for a majority of rainwater. The Ron explains that Shmuel was willing to rely on his lenient ruling in practice. Similarly, Shmuel's father constructed mikvahs for his daughters during Nisan and did not allow them to immerse in the Euphrates. Alright, so now we go to our simon for Daf Mem, and our standard simon relates to mayim, water, and we use a pool for the simon. So here goes. When swimming at the camp pool is interrupted by an infirmary announcement that whoever does not visit the sick is as if he spills blood, and some boys ran to do the mitzvah knowing that there would be a great reward in this world, the ones who stayed behind got caught in a strong rain that filled the volume of a nearby river. Once again, slow motion. When swimming at the camp pool, that must be more on Daf Mem, Mayim, pool. When swimming at the camp pool is interrupted by an infirmary announcement that whoever does not visit the sick is as if he spills blood, which reminds us the Gemara brings a number of statements about the importance of Bikur Choim, such as Rabbi Kiva's, Kol mi she'ein mevaker choim ki'ilu shofech damim. Anyone who does not visit the sick is as if he spills blood. So, when swimming at the camp pool is interrupted by an infirmary announcement that whoever does not visit the sick is as if he spills blood, and some boys ran to do the mitzvah knowing there would be a great reward in this world, which reminds us, Rav said, Kol mevaker zochoh nitzel medina shel gehenim. Anyone who visits the sick is saved from the judgment of gehenim, and then details reward in this world, such as he'll be saved from the Yetzer Hara, suffering, and all will be honored through him. So, when swimming at the camp pool is interrupted by an infirmary announcement that whoever does not visit the sick is as if he spills blood, and some boys ran to do the mitzvah knowing there would be a great reward in this world, the ones who stayed behind got caught in a strong rain that filled the volume of a nearby river, which reminds us, Rabin said in the name of Rav, Mitra b'marava sada rabba pras. When rain falls in the west, meaning Eretz Yisrael, the Euphrates is a great witness thereof. The Euphrates River increases in volume as a result of the rain in Eretz Yisrael. If the rainwater may be the majority of the river volume, the river would become disqualified as a mikveh because rainwater is only valid when stationary, as opposed to rivers fed by natural springs. So once again, when swimming at the camp pool is interrupted by an infirmary announcement that whoever does not visit the sick is as if he spills blood, and some boys ran to do the mitzvah knowing there would be a great reward in this world, the ones who stayed behind got caught in a strong rain that filled the volume of a nearby river. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Daf Lamed Vav. So the Simur Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The lulav merchant, lulav, that must be more Daf Lamed Vav. The lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining his Pesach, aside from his kids, who don't need to consent. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera explained that one cannot derive from the fact that one can register his children on the Karban Pesach without their consent, that he can register a friend on his Pesach without his consent, for selaves avos lav deraisa, the law of a lamb for each father's house, is not deraisa for minors. Since they can partake of the Pesach without registration, there is no basis to permit the registration of an adult without his consent. So, the lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining his Pesach, aside from his kids who don't need to consent, was surprised by the man who took truma from his own produce to permit a friend's teva, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Hator Mishalo Ashal Chavera, one who separates truma from his own produce on his friend's teva produce to permit it, Sarach Daito Olo, does he need his friend's consent or not? Do we assume the owner would want his produce permitted without his having to use his own produce, and his consent would not be required, or might he prefer to do the mitzvah himself, even at the cost of using his produce for truma? So the lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining his Pesach, aside from his kids who don't need to consent, was surprised by the man who took truma from his own produce to permit a friend's tevel, and then tell the merchant that if he gave him a free lulav, he'd give the truma to his kohen grandson. Which reminds us of Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question to Rabbi Zera. If one separated truma from his own produce to permit his friend's tevel produce, tovos hanas shel mi, to whom does the benefit of pleasure belong? Meaning, which of the two determines to which kohen to give the truma? Daf Lamed Zayin. So the simur Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The fun Rebbe used a laser tag on laser tag. That must be more Daf Lamed Zayin. The fun Rebbe who used a laser tag gun as a pointer to teach Torah for free, which reminds us, the Gemara quotes the source for requiring teaching Torah for free. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Re'e lamati eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem. See, I've taught you laws and statutes like Hashem commanded me. We expound this to teach, ma'ani b'chinam afatem b'chinam. Just as I, Moshe, taught you for free, so too you should teach others for free. So, the fun Rebbe who used a laser tag gun as a pointer to teach Torah for free did charge parents a small fee for supervision when teaching their children Mikra, which reminds us. The Gemara wonders what the difference is between Midrash and Mikra, for just as Midrash must be taught for free based on the Pasuk, we should say the same for Mikra. Rav answers, Schar Shimur. The Mishnah is discussing payment for watching, referring to minors who require supervision. Such payment is permitted to collect. Midrash, on the other hand, is usually taught to older children who do not require supervision, so payment is not permitted. Rabbi Yochanan answers, Schar Pisuk Tamim. The Mishnah is discussing payment for teaching correct cantillation notes. These are not Midaraisa and are thus not included in the prohibition of collecting payment for teaching Torah. So, the fun Rebbe who used a laser tag gun as a pointer to teach Torah for free did charge parents a small fee for supervision when teaching their children Mikra and told the fathers there was plenty of time for them to be with their children on Shabbos when no new material is taught, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a brisa that teaches children cannot learn new Mikra on Shabbos, but they can review it for the first time. Two explanations are presented. Firstly, because their fathers would be reluctant to prevent their children from missing the new material taught, and their attending would detract from the father's Shabbos pleasure of spending time with their children. Secondly, because the children eat more than usual on Shabbos, they become lethargic, and it would be difficult for them to learn new material. Daf Lamed Ches. So the Simur Daf Lamed Ches is a Davar Lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. The generous Rosh Hashiva, who served as many Talmidim, delicious chicken soup, that must be on Daf Lamed Ches, Davar Lach, chicken soup. The generous Rosh Hashiva, who served as many Talmidim, delicious chicken soup, after teaching them how to do pilpul, which reminds us the methodology of pilpul was given originally to Moshe Rabbeinu alone and his descendants, and he generously shared this methodology with all of Klal Yisrael. So the generous Rosh Hashiva served as many Talmidim delicious chicken soup after teaching them how to do pilpul and darshan out Moshe Rabbeinu's four qualities, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan taught Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashrei Shechina So, Ela Al Gibor V'Ashir V'Chacham V'Anav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only rests his Shechina on one who is mighty, wealthy, wise, and humble. V'Kulam V'Moshe, and all of them are learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the generous Rosh Hashiva served as many Talmidim delicious chicken soup after teaching them how to do pilpul and darshan out Moshe Rabbeinu's four qualities, dished out another bowl for the new chassan, who was mudu hana from him, who was Bulgaria's daughter, just consented to marry. Which reminds us, a chassan who was mudu hana from his friend can still marry his daughter when she's a Bulgaris, since he only needs her consent and not the consent of her father. Daf HaMetes, so the Simur Daf HaMetes is a letter, and we often use a mailman. So here goes. The mailman, that must be more Daf HaMetes, letter. The mailman carrying a bag of get well cards and standing while visiting a patient who is mudah hana from him, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis taught. Hamudah hana mechavero nignas levakro omed avolo yoshev. One who is mudah hana from his friend, and he comes to visit him when he's sick, he may stand, but he may not sit. The Gemara on this daf provides three explanations for this halacha. Shmuel said the cases where the sick person is mudah hana from this visitor. The visit itself is not a forbidden benefit because he's performing his own mitzvah, and the ill person benefits indirectly. The Mishnah is speaking where those who sit with the sick when visiting receive compensation for it. Therefore, doing so without payment would be a direct benefit and forbidden. Standing with the sick, however, is never allowed to be compensated, being the minimal form of the mitzvah, so doing so for free is permitted. So, the mailman carrying a bag of get-well cards and standing while visiting a patient who was mudah hana from him made it past the dangerous hole in the floor where fiery flames leapt out, which reminds us. The Gemara explains that Moshe Rabbeinu had asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the incident with Korach if the entrance to Gehenna was nearby, and if not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring it close, and we learn that Gehenna was one of the seven things created before the world. So the mailman carrying a bag of get-well cards and standing while visiting a patient who was mudah hana from him made it past the dangerous hole in the floor where fiery flames leapt out and broke the world record by making this his 100th visit that day, which reminds us, a braisa taught bikur cholim ein lashiur, visiting the sick has no limit. The Gemara explains that this refers to the mitzvah obligation as being without limit. Abai said, afil gadol etzel katan, even a great person must visit a lesser person. Rava said, afil mei apamim bayom, one should visit even 100 times a day. And Rabbi Acha bar Chanina said, kol mavako chola notol echad meshishim mitzaro, whoever visits a sick person takes away 1/60th of his suffering. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf are you on? That just as Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah for free, so should we teach the Torah for free. That's on daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we discuss the schar for doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? That's on daf Mem. Good. Number 3. Which daf are you on about Moshe Rabbeinu's four qualities of being a Gibor, Asher, Chacham, and Anav? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that a mudra hana from his friend who is sick must stand when he visits him? That's on daf Lamatesk. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that Rekiva says anyone who does not visit the sick is kiyu shofech tamim? It's as if he spilled blood. That's on daf Mem. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that the reason one may teach mikra for a fee is either schar shimur, supervision, or for teaching the trop? That's on daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu shared the methodology of pilpul with Klal Yisrael? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have the question whether one can take truma from his produce to permit his friend's tevel without getting his consent? That's on daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we discuss tevila in rivers possibly disqualified by rainwater? That's on daf Mem. Good. And number 10, which daf do you learn that there's no shear for visiting the sick? That's on daf Lamites. Excellent. That concludes today's shear. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldham. Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.